WTF, we're doing a podcast. I'm Nikki.
And I'm Michelle. This is 50. Welcome to What the 50. Join us on our continued journey to simplify our lives.
We will seek the answers from the experts and offer tips, tools, and techniques to live your life with confidence and joy. Are we ready?
Let's go.
Hi, Nikki.
How are you?
Great. Here we are again.
Yes, and we're
another episode in our series
talking about the transitions that we have gone through from our vantage point of 50 plus, right?
50 plus.
So every woman goes through being a daughter. Well, yes. For sure. And as you know, that has changed.
Well, in terms of our role for us,
as a
right. So this episode is really very personal for us because we're speaking about our individual experiences, which are quite different. But the commonality is that we're transitioning from the daughter to the caregiver.
Right.
And you know, we'll talk about our experiences and what that has been like for us and how we have navigated that transition. And for me, I'm still going through some amount of transitioning with that, but it's a journey, another journey for us, a learning experience. It is for me, it has been emotional, and I think for a lot of people it will be, because you see your parents as superheroes.
For sure.
They're going to live forever. They can do everything and anything. And then before you know it, one day you wake up and they're probably 2 inches shorter. They're probably forgetting things all of a sudden. They're probably a little cranky. There are different things that can happen.
Of course.
And then you're saying, but hold on a second, where's my mom? Where's my dad? How or why is this happening? And I think for some of us, we're thrown into the caregiving role. It doesn't happen overnight, you know. But it feels like it happens overnight,
right?
You know, because sometimes you don't pay attention to the changes.
Right. Well, I think we both, like my parents were older when they had me. So I've
me
always
too.
Had this fear of them passing on.
Mm-hmm.
So I, as you know, my story, it finally happened. My mother was 76 when she died. I was pregnant with Max.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a journey, because she had cancer. And then she went to Canada, came back, and she was here. And it took a lot of patience out of you, because, oh gosh, I felt so guilty on one hand, feeling this way. And it was very hard just watching her, watching my father navigate that. Thankfully, Trevor was around and was a doctor at that time. So a young doctor, but
he could
at least help. And
yes.
Our friend Philip too was also very instrumental in being there, but she just had the longest and just drawn out. And after a while, you know, you were starting to think, oh gosh, please, you don't want to wish for her to pass, but for her
suffering.
Own.
Yes, which is hard.
Right.
That's very hard.
And then when my dad passed off, so my dad died around 10 years after. But thankfully for him, he died, honestly, Michelle, within 6 days. He had pneumonia. We were traveling. We came home. We had to take him to the hospital. And 4 days later, he passed away. He had gone to the office on the day before, almost like say the Monday was in. And I thank the Lord every time, because he could have never endured what mommy had gone through. So, you know, and in that time when you're dealing with that, you're always, it's very isolating, because though I have six brothers and sisters, I always felt, oh gosh, it was me, the one. Whether it was a reality or not, which it wasn't,
is how you felt.
You felt.
Yeah.
And it was in that point with mommy, actually, that I decided I can't have one child, because it's just too much for one person.
So on that note, I am an only child for my parents. So I started to take care of my dad. He had Alzheimer's, and it was a very quick transition, because Literally, I mean, we look back now, we know that there were the signs before, we just never saw them,
Right.
or we didn't recognize what it was. But daddy became very dependent on me, and daddy was my superhero,
Right.
right?
My daddy
And
too.
then all of a sudden, he became very dependent on me. And with his Alzheimer's, it was those days we didn't have cell phones. So he'd call me at the pharmacy, Michelle, so and so is going on, you have to come up right away. And I had to go up right away.
Right.
What he thought was happening wasn't happening, but the point is, I had to be there for him to assure him that all was well. And dad died peacefully 18 years ago, and now I'm dealing with mom, and it was very hard for mommy at first because dad took care of everything, and now she was just thrown into this role of taking care of herself, and it was really hard for her. And I think mom probably was a little bit bitter at first, but mommy's also very independent minded.
Of course.
So there was a lot of pushback when I was trying to show her and, advise her, we have to do things a little differently. So there was that pushback
Of
period.
course.
And who am I to tell her what to do? And, mommy was always very strong-willed, still is. She ran her business. So she didn't want me to be running her home.
Of course.
But I mean, I had to, for example, a good example was, Mom, you cannot drive anymore. Why can't I drive? And I just had to not renew her driver's license,
Right.
or else she'd want to be driving at 90.
She'd be driving
She'd be
now.
driving no, exactly. So it was really, really hard. But I'll tell you this though. We have gone over the hump. So we went through those years of her, I'm fighting her, she's fighting me, I'm almost angry. Why is my mother getting older?
Right.
She's not supposed to get older.
Right.
But she was getting older. And she was pushing back. Who am I? Who's this little girl to be telling me
What
what
to
to do?
do?
I know how to manage my business. But we've gone over that hump now.
So,
We've gone past that. And she'll say, oh, Michelle, you're in charge of everything, even though she'll say that. And then she'll tell the nurses something else sometimes. But generally speaking, she has now recognized that I have to do it for her.
right.
And what's really important, I include her in the decision process.
Of course.
Mom, what do you think about so and so? Little things, even like the gardener coming. She would like to stand at the gate and she wants to see what the gardeners are doing. And I allow her to do
Of
that
course.
because I can't afford for her to think that she no longer has any purpose. It's her garden. So she can stand at the gate
It's
and
going to
look
bring
out.
her joy, right?
Absolutely. So she can have her, and it's also a little bit of socializing for her
Of
too.
course.
She can have a conversation with the gardener, and she loves to direct traffic. So she can tell him, trim this, prune that, blah, blah, blah. And it makes her feel good at the end of the day
And in control of something,
and
right?
in control of something. Exactly. So transitioning for you was a process, as
Right.
it was for me. But I think generally speaking, anybody we talk to
Right.
will say it is a process. And guess what? When we're preparing for our children, we read that book. What's it called again? What to expect when expecting,
Yes, like, yeah,
right?
that
And
was
we
a
read it cover to cover. We're going to do this. But when we're going to care for our aging parents, there's nothing.
Right.
It's literally
That'd be a
based
book for you
on,
to write.
we could write that, right? It's literally based on as we go along. We
Right.
kind of figure it out as we go along. So I'm hoping that the younger listeners will pull from this to recognize that it's something that's coming, and it's actually such a privilege, it's a blessing to have older parents, for them to be with us for a longer
Of
time,
course, of course. I
right?
wish my parents were still
Right.
here, for
So, but it
sure.
requires planning. And you're going to talk a little bit about that, the importance of the financial planning, which is one of the parts
Yeah.
that some of us don't talk about
Right.
until it's actually happening. But we have some tips that I think it'd be great for us to
Yes.
share to help others to recognize that it's a process that can be a little bit easier if you're prepared,
And
as best
intentional.
as possible.
Unintentional,
Intentional, yeah,
right?
definitely.
So it's kind of like, so we've gone through the fact of we get to that stage now when we're parenting our parents, which
Right,
you are definitely in.
and parent mode. I'm in parent mode.
You're right into
Full
it,
parent mode.
right?
In Jamaica, we say once a man, twice a child. But parenting your parent is a lot harder than parenting your child.
Yeah. Because you almost have to do it with them not really knowing you're doing
Absolutely,
it,
because the
right?
pushback is there.
Yes. Oh
So tell
boy.
us some tips that you have, Nikki. I mean, based on your experience, what would you, how would you advise listeners who are approaching this stage in their lives, what are the things that they could do to make it a little easier?
Well, first of all, I think that what we have to do is we have to be communicate openly with our parents and allow them to communicate openly with us. So they might say things that we don't like, but we have to accept them. Similarly, that we, you know, it has to be open because, you know, there's a lot of things that goes on with parenting, multiple, you know, they might favor one child or don't want you to think harshly of another child. So they hide things or they're giving money to another child
Listen to
and
me,
they're
they can be
not.
manipulated too,
Exactly. But they do it with their best
best
intentions.
intentions, of course.
But I always say, you know, like if you are doing something like when you're, this is a big thing, like when you are making your will, for instance, and you're going to give Michelle the house and Jack the land, there must be a reasoning why you're doing that. So explain that.
Have a conversation. But
Exactly.
that's probably one of the hardest conversations to have though.
I know.
Meaning, it's why are we talking about the will? I'm not dead yet. You know what I mean? But it is important.
But that's all
It's
in,
important.
that's in Chinese culture too, right? Because you don't talk about that death. And I hate all that talk. Honestly, I hate that. Whereas my husband's parents,
It's oh.
they've already picked out their plots, paid for their funeral and everything.
Well, I was actually going to say to you, the will is one thing, but what about the living will?
Yes.
What do they want while they're alive?
Yeah.
Because you remember, like my mother has always said, never put me into a nursing home.
Yes, I tell my
So,
children all that
yeah,
time.
and I would never, no matter what, I have to find a way to make sure that mom is comfortable in her home.
I agree.
Because
Yes.
I'm telling you, if I moved her to a nursing home, which I'll never do,
Yes.
but you can bury her immediately.
Right. And that's just not really in our
It's
culture, in
not.
our
It's
Jamaican
not.
culture,
It's not.
unless you have no other choice, right?
Right.
Like, no
Thankfully,
judge.
I do.
Right,
Thankfully,
exactly.
I do. And it has worked really, really well for us. She has great nurses around the clock that are with her, that are really her caregivers at home. But in terms of the open communication, I think that is so, so important.
Of course.
That I learned along the way because it was just, we just never talked about it.
Yes.
You know, whether it's fair, whether it's lack of knowledge, I'm not sure, but we just never had that
Yeah.
conversation.
And the thing is, like, I knew my father was at the end when he came, when he told me, and I went to visit him in the hospital, it was just me. And he says, Nikki, this is why I'm doing this in my will. It's like, Daddy, don't bother to
But
tell me that. It's okay.
exactly.
You're going to be fine. But, you know, I had to hear that.
Well, just this morning I visited mom, and mom always has a lot of jewelry. She likes to match and so on. And she says to me, just out of the blue, when are you going to take some of the necklaces? I'm like, Mom, seriously, not now. That's really simple, right? But I'm already saying to her, I don't want to talk about those things because it's
Right.
almost as if it's communicating to me,
That
she's
she's
going to go
ready.
soon.
That she's ready. Yeah.
And she loves to do that. You go to the house and she'll say to you, okay, I'm going to give that to JP and I'm going to give this to Zach and I'm going to give this to the church. And I'm like, Mom, really, I don't want to talk about that right now.
But we have to
But we
allow
have
it,
to.
right? And she needs to know it's all put in place so that she can
Be
rest
at peace.
easy.
Yeah, she can be
And
at peace.
you know too, like as much as we don't want to speak about it,
Yeah, it's
and who
important.
knows, she might want to see you wearing the
And that's a
jewelry, and
good
you need
point.
to give her that
Yeah,
pleasure of seeing
yes.
you
That's a good,
wearing
that's
her
actually, everything's
jewelry.
about perspective. So that's a good point. Yeah, I'll go wear it.
So the second thing that we have to do is establish healthy boundaries, right? Because of course, as you know, right now you're living through it. Your mother can consume your time
Yes,
if you allowed her to.
absolutely. Boundaries are really important, and not just with our parents, but generally in our lives. But setting the boundaries with your parents is hard.
Of course,
You
because
know
they
what?
raised you, they
Exactly,
provided for you.
exactly. So even at 54, there are times I still feel like I'm the child, right?
Of course.
And how can I set a boundary with my mother? You know,
Yeah.
but it's important because, like you said, and mommy will do that to me. I haven't spoken to you in 2 days. And I'd be like, Mom, you spoke to me yesterday. Oh, I spoke to you yesterday. And I feel so guilty because, you
You
know,
said that in that little tone.
yes. I'm like, Mom, we spoke yesterday. Oh, yes, we spoke yesterday. But we have to set the boundaries and we have to And of course, it went to be within reason,
Of course.
you know. So you know what I have done in terms of setting the boundaries and being intentional, and that's part of being intentional too. I actually have in my diary mommy's days on a Wednesday.
Oh, love that.
So if something happens, I'm not able to go and visit her on the other days. I know Wednesday
It's blocked off
is
for her.
blocked off
And it
for
also
her,
gives her something to look forward to,
and she
right?
looks forward to it.
Right.
So I mean, when we get into creating the those timelines and creating
That comes up.
right, that's going to be a part of it
Yeah.
as well. Very important.
And one thing about I wanted to mention too is that how we treat our parents is probably how our kids are going to
Treat
treat
us.
us. So we have to always be very mindful of that, right?
Setting that example.
Exactly, because it's all about modeling.
And guess what? What is also important is, apart from them seeing how we handle our parents, they have to be a part of the process too,
With the
with the
grandparents, of
grandparents.
course.
And it actually blows my mind. The relationship that mom has with the boys, it's tremendous. And
I know, I love that
they get
relationship.
away with everything. When I was your age, I couldn't get away with that. But they really have a very, very special relationship, both JP and Zach. They have a really special, it really warms my heart when I see how they are. And even the other day, JP video called mom and she says, we can't talk right now, you know, too many people are around. Because
I
you
love
want to
that.
hear something, like a
Yeah.
girlfriend story, you know, what she wants to hear about Zach's girlfriend and JP's girlfriend. And you know, she loves to hear those little
Yeah.
stories. I couldn't go to her about boyfriend stories. I don't get it, but they're doing their thing and they're part of the process.
Oh,
Taking care of grandma,
is part
it,
of.
yes, they're part of it.
Yeah.
So.
I wish my mother never got a chance to have that
Yes,
relationship with
yes,
my kids.
yes,
So
yes. It's
I
special.
yeah.
And I'm really grateful for it.
Of course.
There are little things that we don't recognize how important they are until we have a conversation. So we don't take it for granted,
Right.
you know. So.
And you know, the thing is too, is that your kids have to have a place where they feel at home, where
Safe.
they're loved unconditionally,
Conditionally, yes.
where they're supported unconditionally. Like I know my parents would definitely take the side of the grandparents over
The grandchildren,
the grandchildren,
children,
over the
the parent,
children,
yeah,
the
the
parents,
parents,
anytime,
right?
right?
Of course.
And my boys still, they had a relationship with daddy. So daddy used to drop Kaylin at preschool and everything with Maureen, of course. But they still remember that daddy would bring them grapes or bring them Dove bars,
Those
you
little
know,
things they
those
won't
little
forget.
things. Yeah.
And that's the relationship too. I mean, I'm speaking about being a daughter, but I'm also a daughter-in-law.
Of course.
So my boys also have a very special relationship with Chris's mom. And she was the one that was dropping off and picking up at
That's
school. And she
great.
has lots of stories of the boys being in the back of the car and the
Yep.
conversations they would have. So they also have their special relationship with her. And Chris's mom mothered me a lot in our early days of our marriage. And we're both at the stage where we are caring for her now.
Right.
But it's like I said, that transition just happens
Overnight, right?
overnight. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know.
Yeah, well, thankfully my boys have their grandparents from their Trevor
From
from
Trevor's side.
Trevor's side, and you know, they're attentive and
Right.
you know, are there for them.
Right, of course.
So
Some more in our tips.
yeah, the other thing is that in this stage in our life, we also have to prioritize our well-being, right? So when my mother was sick, it was very important that I had to figure out how I was going to cope and manage these things. I think during that time, I think Trevor and I went on a trip when she was very sick, and I was feeling guilty about that, but I don't regret doing it because I had to for my
But
own.
you know, there's a real thing, caregiver burnout.
Right.
It's a real thing.
Right.
And I get that because there are times that I've thought of not doing something because what if,
Right.
right? In 2022, we went back and forth a lot to the States, and mom wasn't very well at the time. And I'm like, gosh, should I go? Should I go? And I'll call the doctor. He says, no, man, just go. Thank God Auntie Gracie's here. And I always say to her, Auntie Gracie, what do you think? And she'll be, no, man, go because you need a break.
Right.
She'd always say that to me, you need the break. So we have to be conscious of that burnout. We
Right.
have to take care of ourselves. while we're taking care of our parents.
It's like taking care of children,
children,
right?
absolutely.
You can't give from an empty cup.
Empty cup,
but
absolutely.
that brings Auntie Gracie brings us to the next tip: build a supportive network.
Gosh, yes,
right. So
yes.
We had the nurses as well.
Right.
We had our longtime housekeeper for when Daddy was older, and then
oh gosh,
and all of his friends.
Yes,
and
that is so important for them. Like. Again, I was with mommy this morning and she's sitting on the veranda and a housekeeper from down the road passes and she's waving and mommy's waving. Like, mommy, who is that? I don't know. She just worked down the road. But that's part of, that's what keeps mom going.
The interaction.
The interaction.
Of course.
Yes. But in terms of the support system, Auntie Gracie's in LA and I'm going to call Auntie Gracie. What should I do? What
right.
do you think?
Of course.
Because it's really difficult to make some of those decisions, particularly the medical decisions.
Right. And especially right. you as an
yes.
only child
exactly.
for your parents.
It's very
right?
hard.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Right.
So I run everything by her. What do you think, Auntie Gracie? And you know,
bless Auntie Gracie.
Oh my gosh, she's coming back soon and I can't wait. So you know, it's having that support is really, really important. Mom got sick 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
my cousin was on his way to Mandeville and I said, look, you need to turn back. And he did just that.
Oh.
So, I mean, just having another person there.
Of course.
Just made all the difference. Mm-hmm. You know, thanks, David.
Yes, yes. I don't think I could have navigated my parents without Trevor.
The support.
For
yes,
sure.
Of course, of course.
And then we come to plan thoughtfully for the future. So that covers the things that we were talking about in their wills and what they want to do.
Right.
And financially, because there's going to become a point where you're going to be managing their finances.
Yes.
Probably, and
yes.
what they want to do.
It takes a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think, as you said, very important, open communication.
Right.
Because mommy also needs to be aware of, we can't do this right now because we're taking care of something else.
Right.
You know, so that constant communication is really important.
Mm-hmm.
And we also, in not in, and when we just to go back a little bit, when we talk about setting boundaries, it's not just about setting boundaries in terms of time, but understanding what we can afford to do and what we can't. Because sometimes you just have to say we can't do X because Y
right.
is a little bit more important
right.
for right now.
Of course.
You know?
And they have to understand.
And they have to understand. It may take a little time, but they have to understand.
And of course, you add that layer, a complex layer to that. Thankfully, on one point, it's just you dealing with her money issues. But you know, when you come into siblings,
right,
and everybody has a different idea of
right. Thankfully, I don't have that.
Well, thankfully, you know, how they should be managed or
right.
whatever. So those are all things that need to be talked about
absolutely.
Before, because war can break out over things. I know. I'm serious.
I know. It's
money makes people.
Changes a lot. Yeah, it changes a lot of people. Yeah, and when the lines are blurred, that's when you have the conflict.
Right.
Yeah.
And especially somebody like for me, like my father was a very much in control. And I was just speaking about it with my sister yesterday. He just went from crisis to crisis with all of his children.
Mm-hmm.
And he just took care of them all.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
And I think of him now, like,
what did he do?
How did he do that?
Right. What he did.
Plus puts 6 children through college.
Mm-hmm.
Like, boy, I have 2 it. No, but seriously, you know, it's but so all of those things you really have to think about and set the expectations early on.
That's the key.
It's just like
that's
parenting
children.
I mean,
that's
parenting children.
Yes.
Tell them this is what's gonna happen, this is what we can afford.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody knows in the family.
But you know what? I mean, we sit here and we're saying these things based on our own experiences, but it's really hard to you're navigating life, your own life. You're dealing with some of us who have children. You're dealing with the children too, and then to be working out how to manage your parents in a few years is you know, adulting is just hard.
Adulting is hell.
It's hard. It's a constant.
Why did you do it?
The adulting thing is a constant. You realize that?
Yeah.
It's a constant. But here we are.
Yeah.
But I wanted to add, in terms of, you know, in dealing with our parents, just the importance of being patient.
Right.
Because it's an emotional time for us, but also for them. It's scary for them.
So this brings us to our 6th tip.
Yeah.
Which is?
Yeah. You just have to be patient. And they're moving slower.
Mm-hmm.
Their brains are working slower. And I mean, I feel like I'm heading in that direction. You know, a lot of things are happening for them and they're sort of slipping away. They're losing control. And that's when I got the pushback from mom. But she felt herself, she was in charge of her business for all these years.
Of course, she's
in
a,
charge of this,
she's
in charge
a,
of that.
She is the ultimate boss lady.
I'm telling you. And then all of a sudden, she can't do certain things. She can't drive. She can't, she can't write a
loss
check anymore.
Loss of control.
Loss of control. And that's scary.
Yeah.
Plus, they're dealing with their health issues, right? So a lot is going on for them, as much as a lot's going on for us too, a lot is going on for them, and they may not understand how to verbalize it. So they get, they probably get a little miserable. Okay. They probably get, you know, they probably get impatient themselves.
Right.
But it's for us to, us on this side, we understand what's going on and we just have to be very patient. So going back to the patient thing, mom repeats herself from time to time. So mommy will come with a story. And she loves to tell the stories about when her husband saw her and fell in love with her. And
lovely.
They went to the movies and we didn't even kiss, you know. And she loves to tell those stories. And I'm like, and I start doing my thing because we've heard the story like 10 times. So I go, 10. So she knows that she has told me 10 times the last minute. But the thing is, we listen to the stories over and over.
You need to record her the next time.
We record her.
Okay, good.
We record her. And she would talk up. So the thing is, she'll say the same thing over and over. And I'll say, mommy just told me that. But not in a mean way.
Right, right.
And she'll laugh. And she doesn't like to say, I forgot. She likes to say, I forget. So she has her little ways of saying things. But we just have to be patient with her. And we almost... We don't ever make her feel that she's incapable.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, and she's well aware that she has repeated herself.
Right.
You know?
So this is tip number six,
right,
which is help preserve their dignity.
Absolutely preserve their dignity.
Yeah.
That is so critical.
Right.
Absolutely important.
And then tip number seven is to spend quality time.
Absolutely.
With your parents.
Absolutely. You know, I saw a video, a reel, on Instagram, and this guy was saying, how often do you see your parents?
Oh, yes. You know, I know exactly what you're going to
say. And the guy says, well, I see them maybe once or twice a year. And he says, well, if your parents are in their 80s, they probably have another 10 years to live. And he calculated how many more times he would probably see his parents. And that was scary.
Yeah. Well, thank God you live in the same place.
Absolutely.
With your mom,
right? That makes a huge difference.
Of
but
course.
Remember, you know, you can get caught up.
And not see them.
Yes.
Yes. That's so true.
It happens to me sometimes. I'll be like, oh my gosh, 3 days have passed and I haven't seen mom.
Mm-hmm.
So quality time.
Quality time that sometimes might involve a routine, like your Wednesdays.
Yes.
Right.
The routine is important, not only for us, but for them too, right? Because
They
look, as you said, look forward to something.
Right.
Mommy's days are, is her entire day has been planned out.
Right.
It's a routine. But in terms of us meeting, spending quality time, we have created a routine for that too. So she gets her drive out on a Sunday. She gets her Devon House visit on a, you know, every other week. So we do all the, going to the post office to collect her pension. That's a big deal. So we do have
that routine.
Yeah, we have
and
that.
Now you started, as we calm down, to our next tip.
Yes.
Not restart your Christmas cake tradition, right?
She had a blast.
Right.
So you love to talk about traditions.
Right. So, So that comes to tip number eight. Like establish some memory making,
yes,
some traditions.
And it's where the children will come in too.
Right.
Because they can help with creating those memories, whether the videos, the pictures, they can have their little interviews. Because grandma may share things or grandpa may share things that they may not necessarily share with us.
Right.
You know, they get a little thrill with sharing these little things with their grandchildren.
Right.
And they can record those things.
Of course.
So there are questions that can be asked to get information. You could probably make a little photo book or create a video and just have them sit and watch themselves. Mommy loves to take pictures. I thought she'd be perfect for Instagram. She loves to take photos.
Of her.
Of herself. Of herself. And then she says, let me see it. She's the first one to say, let me see it. And the first one to say, put it in my phone.
Right.
So she like, and I will send her things from time to time on her phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so she just loves to look at those, look back at when she was dancing, when the boys were there. So creating those memories.
Yeah. So establishing those stories really help cement like what the family values are.
Yes.
And
yes.
what is intentionally in their thought. So I know I've spoken to you about this before, but my grandparents, my father's parents that came from China, they were very intentional in like the Chang family. It's all about the collective. You do everything for the collective, right? Good and bad in many ways, but it's really for the collective. And so one of the biggest intentional thing is that the family lived together with five houses around. I'm the last one to live in this house. And events happened together. So one of the biggest events was Chinese New Year. And my grandparents were very intentional of like, this is our family, these are the things that we do, and this is what we believe in. So that's something that
Tradition.
we have to pass down. So I think we're on our last tip now. And one of the tips is include parents in milestones and celebrations in your life.
But can I just say though that it's not just for us, but it's for them.
Of course.
They need to feel a part of the process. And remember too that while we're making these memories, while we're celebrating these milestones, it helps to keep their brains alive and well.
Of course.
They will have something to think about, I'm sure,
And feel involved,
and
right?
feel involved. I'm sure a lot of times when they're just probably just sitting around, maybe watching something on the television, they can reflect on when they went to their grandson's party, their granddaughter's celebration, and they were there.
Of course, and
And
those are.
absolutely
So I tell
important.
you a story is that one of my girlfriends had a birthday, and so her mother had flown down to celebrate her birthday with her and then left. And that night we went to a party, like a paid party, but it was a smaller paid party. So some of her friends or her husband, I think, brought a cake for her to celebrate her birthday. And so we had a happy birthday, whatever, and there's pictures. Well, I tell you that her mother was vexed because she says, how can your husband organize this big party for you and not include me?
Oops.
But you see, it was all misconstrued because obviously, we were at a paid party. Well, it just said it was a coincidence. But you see how important these things are to the parents, right?
Absolutely. And we have to be mindful of that.
Of course.
Yeah. So,
And let's talk
but
about our t-shirts.
I was about to say, Nikki, that we have our purple t-shirt, and
Right, but why we
there's a
have
reason why we have purple
purple?
t-shirts.
Why is
And
mine?
what does your t-shirt say?
Mine says a daughter of the island.
Mine actually says the same thing too. So we're in purple because it's International Women's Day. And
Right,
the color is
is
purple.
purple.
And the theme, Nikki, this year is
Inspire inclusion.
inclusion, right? And I think it works nicely with our episode today because in an anti-aging society, we tend to at times not want to include the aging parents,
Of course.
right? And I think we have done fairly well with that in including our parents. And we will encourage our listeners to do the same. They want to be a part of it. They want to, have their little two cents. May not be the way that we want them to say it, or it may just be a different opinion, a different style, but it's okay.
I think, and let me get something off my guilty chest about that.
Yes, confess.
No, because I as you said that we include our parents. Like I remember, like every Saturday, and I'm dating myself now. When Trevor was in medical school, we would go to Chow Bella. Remember that? At Decorator's Corner for lunch. And I remember seeing my mother waving us goodbye. And just the other day or something, I said to Trevor, "Why we never invited mommy to come for lunch with us?" So anyway, I'm just getting that. So invite your parents
Yeah, but you know
when
what?
you
You just
can.
never thought of it. But that's why we're talking about this today, because when we're at that stage, we're not thinking that there's going to come a day when they probably can't go for lunch,
Right, or they're not here
or
to
they're not
go.
here to go to lunch, or they may be able to go to lunch but not enjoy it because they're just not capable of, So we just don't think about those things because our parents don't age.
Yeah, I know.
They're superheroes.
Of course.
So
But we're all
listen, JP and Zacho, if you're listening.
Yes, and Max and Kaylin. Yes. Well, Matt, they're like, mommy, you have to walk, you have to do this, you have to eat, because can't let this happen to you.
Yeah.
They want to keep us vital.
And that's important.
Yeah.
So that's good. So your future's looking good.
Yeah. So here I am wearing gym clothes now.
Yeah, she's in her Lulu.
In the daytime, because this is a habit that I'm trying to get into by, if I get into my gym clothes from early.
It starts up here, you know.
And then I will actually do walking, because I'm already.
Well, I walked this morning, by the way.
And that's what I wanted to say about you too. Michelle was doing walking early in the morning. Yeah, and I noticed you started a little bit later now.
Yeah.
So at least you're doing it.
Yep. We almost walked past, but that's another story.
So good. Proud of you.
Yeah.
But anyhow, back to Inspire Inclusion. Yeah. Let's not forget that we are going to be talking to a young student.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Right. About our whole Women's Day and the daughter. She's a daughter and her mother is hearing impaired.
Mm-hmm.
And she really wants to do something to let the world be a little bit more inclusive.
And that's so important.
And that will come up soon.
And,
right after.
And I have, I mean, that's something that's near and dear to me too. So I'm looking forward to that conversation with her.
Yeah. So Jessica is here with us. And this week we are talking about International Women's Day and Inspiring Inclusion. So on our podcast, What the 50, this theme, we're talking about the different roles that women hold during their lifetime. We all hold the role of a daughter.
Yes.
So I know that you are applying to do biomedical engineering in university. And you wanted to do biomedical engineering for a special reason.
Yes. So I wanted to do biomedical engineering because ever since growing up, just being in churches of the deaf with my mother being raised by a deaf mother, I really saw insights in how prosthetics can help people with disabilities. And so I started reading further, discovering how prosthetics can really help someone just cross the barrier from an inaccessible society to an accessible society. I just wanted to live my life pursuing that goal in crossing that barrier.
And that's just fantastic, Jessica. And we're living in a world now where differences are just not really accepted, unfortunately. And I'm happy that we're looking at inclusion this year for International Women's Day. And with your drive to do what you want to do in university, I think that is just commendable, awesome. That is an inspiration to us. Tell us though, how was it for you growing up with your mom, deaf? How did you navigate day to day with her? And how did you had to learn how to speak to her, how to communicate with her. How was that for you?
So there isn't much difference between being raised by her and mother. So obviously it's almost like being bilingual, being raised with ASL or Jamaican Sign Language. So I grew up learning two languages. I spoke English with my father and I spoke sign language with my mother. So it's almost the same. There's no difference, really.
Right.
So are you fluent in JSL and ASL?
So I was raised with American Sign Language, but I know that the signs in Jamaica are being changed to Jamaican Sign Language very slowly. My mother is teaching me the different signs now, but she's returning to Jamaican Church for the Deaf in Jamaica. So she's learning the new signs and she's teaching me. So it's kind of a blend between the two.
Oh, perfect.
Awesome.
That's amazing.
And of course, it's important for us to find a way to communicate with our deaf society.
Of course.
You know, I know that is something that they appreciate when we're able to communicate with them and not try to exclude them. And, you know, in communicating with them, is speaking to them in their language.
Right.
You know, so that's fantastic.
What type of barriers did you find that your mother had being deaf? What were some issues that you might have come across?
So the main issues, I would say, it's not a part of the fact that she is disabled in the society. It's the fact that the society does not make an attempt to be accessible to her. So growing up, she did not have a very good education because, well, I guess at that time, Jamaica didn't really fund an education for people with disabilities. So she left high school with, I would say, not really up to standard grasp on English grammar. So of course, they focus on sign language grammar. But we know that most of our books, most of our like doctor's instructions, resumes, things like that are all in English grammar. So that part of society is entirely inaccessible to her, which is interesting. I don't understand how we would expect them to really interact with society when they don't have a good grasp on English grammar. The same with mathematics. She has a very basic understanding of mathematics, basic understanding of science, social studies, and geography, politics. So they, my mother at least, or people in her generation, they wouldn't have the education needed to go out into society and be able to get like a high-paying job or really succeed to any level. It's almost as if they are delegated to poor paying jobs.
And thankfully, the Jamaica Association for the Deaf is putting in, new measures now. So that's changing. So the younger generation is seeing a whole different way of learning and accessing, different things in society. And I'm really happy for that.
Michelle, you work with the Jamaica
No, I
Association of
don't
Deaf.
actually. My husband, Christos, the
Okay.
Jamaica Association for the Deaf, but by extension, as a family, we're involved. On the periphery as best as we can, but they're doing a lot of work up there, and I'm really, really proud of what they're doing. So.
So just so you know, my nephew is deaf. He grew up in Canada though, but he is a deaf real estate agent. And so he provides real estate service to hearing, but also he's a big provider to the deaf community in Ontario. So it is close to
To
our
both of
heart.
us, yes. Excellent.
So Jessica, one last question is, if you could create something that you to help your mother, to help other deaf people, what is it that, what's your big dream?
In terms of a big dream, I wouldn't really say that I have a big dream in terms of prosthetics, because I don't have many ideas. I think I'd have to go to university and learn more before I really venture into that. But currently, I have an initiative called Echoes of Empathy, where I have online webinars where I teach people that I know sign language, even just basic, the alphabet sign language. That really helps to cross the language barrier. They could communicate with service workers at supermarkets in Jamaica that hire deaf workers. So I have that. I'm also doing fundraisers where I'm raising money. So I've done a fundraiser at Immaculate Conception in Jamaica, where I'm going to donate that money to the Jamaican Association for the Deaf.
Wow, that's
Oh,
amazing.
fantastic.
Please send us the information
Yes,
so
for
that we can
sure.
put it on our Instagram page
And at
and
our supermarket, we have about five employees at Lochasan that are deaf, and we interact with them as much as we can.
yes, for sure.
Fantastic.
Thank you so much, Jessica.
Congrats, Jessica.
And good luck. I know you're going to get the perfect placement in college, wherever that may be.
Thank you. Nice meeting you too.
Yes, you too.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of What the 50. Please show your love and encouragement by sharing, subscribing, and leaving a review wherever you're listening. And don't forget to like and follow us on Instagram. And please join our active Facebook group at what.the50.